Hello, everyone. This is Matthew Fraley with BreakpointTrades.com. This is the Wednesday, August 17th newsletter. Tonight's newsletter, as you can see, divided into five major sections. And once again, the first thing I will discuss once we get through this initial discussion is the systems, the reversion to mean systems, which we still have that nice trade on via the ES bear long. And of course, the trend following systems, the KISS systems. All right, guys, as far as the market, we've had some chop the last couple days. On Tuesday, the market gapped down, sold off in the morning, but it quickly rallied, made another new high. But what happened on Tuesday was the indexes perfectly tagged their 200-day moving average on the S&P 500 and also the weekly ATR, that's the average true range, reversed off of those yesterday afternoon. Okay. Well, then coming into today, we had a big old gap down in the morning and the market sold off over the next couple hours, but then it had a pretty strong bounce once again in the afternoon, retracing well over 61.8% of the move down. It did sell down, though, the last hour of the day. So for the day, the S&P ended up down about 31 points, similar to where it opened on the gap down. Remember, guys, topping is a process, okay? Whereas bottoming is more of a one-time, like a, more of a one-event thing. Topping is a process. You've heard that before, and you can see the point here. And I like to really illustrate that point because if you do, you know, if you manage to catch some shorts on one of these days, let's say you were short coming into today or the previous day, it's best to take profits pretty aggressively initially when you're uptrending in the market because the market just doesn't, like I said, topping's a process. It doesn't just go straight up, hit resistance and go straight down, okay? The market doesn't have a really good downtrend until you sell off, break a symmetry uptrend, then you rally and form a lower high. That's where you want to have your more aggressive swing shorts where you can give them some room. But environments like this, best to take some profits pretty aggressively right away. All right, now, short term though, what we're watching is today's lower high is a possible wave B bounce with a C decline coming tomorrow or a wave three down. I'm more in the ABC type camp, but where we really illustrate this well is on the 10 and 15 minute S&P views. You can see a nice tight downtrend channel. And I took some short home tonight. I think Steve did as well. And we'll see how we fare tomorrow morning. All right, guys. Again, other than that, as far as trade ideas, quite honestly, guys, I looked for some long ideas and I just can't find crap. Nothing showing up on our on my scans. And whenever that happens, I don't force the issue. And also, whenever I find it's I have difficulty finding long setups for my scans, a lot of times that usually precludes some sort of market sell-off. So a little cautious on the market here. Steve put out the inverse ETFs, like SPXU, SQQQ on Tuesday, and those obviously played out right in the morning. Anyway, let's get started here. Item number two shows the index sector table what transpired today and this week. So you can see nice down day for the market. Like I said, it did close off the lows, but still ended up being a nice down day with the S&P down about 0.7%, NASDAQ down 1.25%, and Russell 2000 down about 1.7%. And the indexes, except for the Dow, were slightly down for the week. As far as the major market sectors, most sectors were down today, but the losses overall were fairly small. A lot of these moves are, you know, 1% or 2%. Currencies, U.S. dollar slightly up today, and dollars had a big week so far, up about 1 percentage point. Cryptocurrencies were weak today. Commodities, mostly to the upside, except for natural gas, copper, and, of course, precious metals. That strong dollar is not helping the precious metals. And bonds, both high yield corporate and the 20-year were down today. Next. Item number three shows the economic news calendar. Tomorrow's Thursday, we have the initial jobless claims, Philly Fed Index, existing home sales, natural gas inventories. Okay, before we get to the indexes, let's talk about the systems. So first image below, item number four, this is the ES Bear Long system, one of the 21 subsystems. And you can see this system's done pretty well this year. Three trades so far, especially this last trade. So you can see there was a quick long trade there in May, lasted a few days. And this system then took a two-entry long in June, basically caught that bottom, was there long for a couple weeks, made about 150 points there, went flat, and then it bought on July 13th there, basically right there at the lows, one day off the lows, and it's still long this entire time. So the system's been long this entire time. In fact, early this week, this system trade was up 500 points. Now, again, guys, realize that when this does finally close out, the market will be off the highs. So you have to decide if you're just following the system until it exits. Obviously, it's done a damn good job. You know, up 460 points, 500 points. I mean, that is one hell of an amazing trade. This system trade is not going to exit until the momentum indicator at the bottom of this chart turns red. And that's still not close to happening. Doesn't matter if the market were to have a pretty good sell-off here and then it were to close. You know, this trade will still be a massive, massive winner. Why is it called the Bear Long? May not be the best naming for it now that I'm thinking about it. You know, the way I've described the Bear Long is it's a subsystem that looks primarily for longs in bear markets. But the problem saying that is that bear markets are not easy to define. And so mainly this system looks for long opportunities whenever price is well below the 200-day moving average, and the 200-day moving average has a downward slope, which has been the case this year. So in fact, we've rallied enough that this system may not be looking to take new trades, especially if we close over the 200-day moving average eventually. Next, image number five. Here's the live trades for the ES systems this year. Remember, I have a table for the ETFs for SPY. I'm shown here for the ES futures, and we show via MES. That's the micro contract. Anyway, you can see this open trade we have. I highlight in yellow that went long on July 13th. So even with the pullback, this trade is still up 466 points or $2,330 on one MES contract. If you bought an actual ES futures contract, you'd be up $23,000. Remember, MES is 1/10 the value. You can see if you followed all these trades this year, you'd have made about $18,000. And remember, guys, you don't have to trade futures. You can trade these ES signals using the SPY related ETFs. Okay. But I will say that futures do have tax benefits, the 60-40 rule, where you get to hold or treat 60% of your profits as long-term capital gains. So if you do have the ability to trade futures, you know, you understand the risk associated with them and they fit your risk profile. Futures do have a lot of benefit over ETFs and options where, you know, you pay the short-term higher capital gains tax on them. Next, driver six, here's a weekly view of the S&P KISS trend system. So it was interesting, this KISS trend system, this actually went long, let's see, one, two, three, four, five, about 5 weeks ago, almost at the lows. Now, there hasn't been a new DVT here. So the DVT on this weekly is still down there at the bottom. To me, that's too wide. I wouldn't be using that. But they had a good entry. Otherwise, on the weekly chart, you could see how so far price has stalled right at this weekly ATR, average true range. Next, Trevor 7, here's the daily KISS. So also price stalled here initially at the 200-day moving average. That's what was tagged yesterday, and we get a pullback today, which is to be expected. The first test of the 200-day moving average, even if you're bullish, guys, and you think we're going to go to new high, very logical to have the first retest of the 200-day moving average being rejected there. And that's what's happened here the last day and a half or couple days. Otherwise, you can see the daily KISS trend system went long there in July. I think it was July 21st. We had a little couple-day pullback after that. You had your DVTs, and the system has been able to raise the DVTs progressively. And that DVT at 4088, that is above where the system would have entered. So the KISS trend here has a profitable trade no matter what happens now, even if it gives it all back here and we hit the DVT. That's the whole point of these KISS trend systems. They try to catch up trends, especially in bull markets. And the DVTs are higher low stops that go in place as price goes higher. Next, chart 8, here's the various cycles. So one thing I pointed out on Monday and was the same yesterday, we had some amateur buying on the daily. You see the upper left. We had an amateur buying on the half day and a DeMarc 9 yesterday. So that ended up marking a little high. And then we're still holding the ATR on the 130 minute and the half day, of course. We did break the ATR in the 60 minute though. You see that? And we came on the rally back today. Kind of looks like a bear flag there or a wave B. It's kind of what I'm favoring. And then another move down in a C. Next. Chapter 9, Bed Bath & Beyond. So this is the thing about the market, guys. This is also why the market wasn't, you know, set the top there in early August. We had so many of these crap stocks like this thing that had these good basing patterns. Now, this one kind of got to be kind of a meme stock. These traders, I think on Reddit, this is another one of these, kind of like AMC was, but I mean, you could see this sucker, could have bought it in the sixes, rallied all the way to 30 at one point today. So this is kind of some of the crazy action we've had in the market. Basically, the crap garbage stocks are back in style, and it is what it is. Hopefully, you're able to catch some day trades on these suckers. All right, let's move on to the indexes. Chapter 10, here's the daily S&P. When I showed in the weekend, Monday, no changes. You know, so far, the first retest of the 200-day moving average has failed, and we've pulled back a little bit. All right. So that's it. You know, under the bullish view, we're going to pull back, form another higher low, and then eventually we'll break through the downtrend line. So there's a couple scenarios on here in red and green. The green one is the very bullish one where we're working on this wave 1 of 5, and once it's complete, we'll have a pretty good healthy pullback in a 2. But then we'll be up in 3 to new all-time highs. There's yet another option you could add here as well, which I'm not. But really, guys, short term, all I'd say is, you know, we hit some resistance at the 200-day moving average. Logical to expect a little pullback there, which we've got. And we're still over the 9 EMA. Remember, both the bullish and bear counts, both lined up for a substantial rally in June. Steve and I talked about our targets of 42 to 4,300. And that's what happened in the market. So both bull and bearish counts all aligned for this rally. Now we're kind of in this, you know, decision point. Again, you can't argue with price action, though. We've had one hell of a rally back, and the bulls have done a good job. So I think, anyway, let's move on. Chart 11, here's another daily chart without any indicators. Just have the 200-day moving average here, 50-day moving average. You can see we tagged that 200-day moving average yesterday, found logical resistance there. Very low risk area to put on a quick short yesterday. And again, obviously, we're not so far, price has been unable to get over that downtrend line from the January highs. Next, chapter 12, here's another daily view of the S&P. This has the volume by price on the left there. And one thing I want to point out is one reason also why price stalled right at that 200-day moving average yesterday was you have quite a bit of volume in that area. Notice how the volume by price, a lot of volume there. And so that's significant resistance. Okay. Just like the previous volume profile, notice how that bar was quite a bit less, kind of like an air pocket. And that's one reason why price rallied so strongly late last week into this area. But again, we stalled right at some resistance here this week. Logical to expect a little pullback, but so far that's all it is. Next. Chapter 13. Here's a chart I showed back in April. I showed it in May and June. That's the NAHL indicator, NASDAQ highs, lows. We had that big positive divergence. But what I really discussed back in May and June was that NASDAQ percentage of stocks above the 200-day moving average. And you see how buried it got? Typically, when it gets that buried, has occurred near major market bottoms. As you can see, I circled in red, and even back in 2008. Now, 2008, you can see it kind of stayed buried there for, 3-4 months, 6 months. But overall, those were pretty decent bottoms in the market. Even the one in October, you know, you were nearing the end of that bear market, and then you had one more decline. But, you know, we had this percentage of stocks in the NASDAQ above the 200-day moving average was buried, and that suggested at least some sort of major low in the market, and that's what ended up being the case. Now, is that the end of the bear market? We're going to go to highs? Possibly. Or, you know, the market could just chop around for a while, retrace quite a bit more than a lot of people think, and still, you know, trick a lot of people. But it has come back substantially off those lows. And, you know, price action, you can't argue with it so far. Next, chart 14, here's a 195-minute half-day chart of the S&P. Steve showed it last night again, guys, no changes. You know, price got right at essentially this downtrend line, failed there initially. And you also have the 61.8 Fib up there. So far, a little rejection off resistance. Next, chart 15, here's the 2-hour view. Again, so far, we have not lost these tight uptrend channels. They are still holding. Remember, in order for the market to have a bigger sell-off, you need to at least break these channels, which would break symmetry. You need to strongly break these. And then your better short would then be shorting the oversold rally lower high. Next. Chart 16, here's a 60-minute view. Shows you the same channel that we have not broken yet. Maybe we'll break it tomorrow. We'll see. Next. Chart 17, 30-minute view with the channel, some wave counts. You know, do we have a little wave 5 there now? We'll see. But, you know, we still haven't broken the channel. Next. Chart 18, here's a 15-minute chart. This is the chart I discussed, referenced in my opening comments. So we had this rising wedge, which we pointed out on Tuesday, and that played out, obviously, today. All right. And actually, we pointed out this rising wedge on Monday. So not Tuesday, but we pointed out on Monday. Anyway, we got the sell-off this morning, lower high bounce. And as I stated, we have this downtrend channel. So we have a lower high in place. And in the short term, I favor a move lower within this channel, either a wave C or wave 3, something like that. Next. Chart 19, here's the 10-minute view. So this here you can see the rising wedge. We had that little 5-wave completion. And then we had a textbook bear flag on the previous day, on Tuesday. That was a good area to short. And today we rallied quite a bit off those lows from 4250 all the way to 4300. So 50 points off those lows, formed another lower high. And we have this channel. So that's either a wave 2 or B. I more favor a B, but if that's the case, then you come down again in a C. That's why I took some shorts home. You know, stop would be basically that 4302 area. Next, chart 20, here's a 3-minute view. So yesterday, first off on Tuesday, you could see that late bounce in the day stalled right at the 61.8 Fib. That was an awesome area to short. And we had to get big gap down in the morning. We had a little falling wedge that occurred midday, pretty good bounce into the afternoon, and then we pulled back pretty nicely in the afternoon as well. Still closing down about 31 points. Next, chapter 21, here's the triple Qs. So they did not make it to the 200-day moving average, unlike the S&P. Little pullback today, still holding that 9 EMA. That's your short-term support. And then, of course, the broken downtrend line is your big supports. Next. Chart 22 is the 60-minute view. It's channel. We're still intact, just like on the S&P. Keep an eye on this tomorrow. Next. Chart 23, here's the daily KISS trend system for the Qs. As you know, this also went back long in the same day as the S&P. And this one was able to add, 6 DVTs here. So that last DVT is higher than entry. So you have a profitable trade here no matter what happens now. Next. Chapter 24, here's the cycles. Very similar look to the S&P cycles, quite honestly. Next. Chapter 25, here's IWM small caps. They managed to close above their 200-day moving average for 3 days. That was a positive. Today, they lost it slightly. Still holding the 9 EMA. That's your short-term support. So there you go on the indexes, guys. Again, we'll see what happens tomorrow. See if that wave B plays out for maybe a move down and a C. That's what I'm hoping. Next. Chapter 26, here's the VIX. VIX up today as the market was down. VIX, you can see, has been trying to find support in this zone that we've shown, this demand zone. Next. Chapter 27, there's the standard VIX chart. Next. Chapter 28, 10-year treasury yield. Update. So, you know, so far this found a low there in early August. And, you know, didn't... So far, it's bounced up here. We'll see if it can clear the 50-day moving average now. Next. Chapter 29, high-yield corporate. This has been pulling back more lately. Not surprising. This led the market on the upside. So short-term, it's kind of leading down a little bit, weakening. It closed below its 20-day moving average today, and the MACD is crossing to the downside. Is a bearish cross. So wouldn't be surprised if this had follow-through to the downside. Next, chapter 30, here's a 60-minute view. You can see it had this channel that was lost. Looks bearish now. That horizontal dotted line, that's now resistance. Next, chapter 31, there's a 60-minute chart. Steve shows how you could form a possible right shoulder if you get a bounce here, but it has to bounce right now, okay, for a proper right shoulder. If it just loses this support here, then it's not a head and shoulder. Next. Moving on to market sectors, chart 32, XOU utilities. This sector has been in fuego. You had a beautiful long opportunity on that bull flag there in July. It is quite overbought here. So, you know, this may be an area for some profit taking finally. It's had a hell of a run. Next, chart 33, XOK technology. Again, this one managed to, you know, have a 1 day close or 2 day close above its 200-day moving average. We'll pull back today. Next. Chapter 34, biotech, basically had a little double top bull flag, I was wondering if it was a bear flag, but it was unable to take out that resistance. Nice sell off today. Next, chapter 35, transports, also stalling up there around its 200-day moving average and 61.8 fib. Next, chapter 36, retail, it's had a nice move up. Little profit taken today. Next. Chapter 37, XLE Energy. Still just chopping around here. Unable to take out that resistance for now, but it is holding that support area. Get a lot of support at the 50-day, 20-day moving averages. Just right there. Next. Let's move on to commodities. Chapter 38, DBC. Slight bounce today. No changes still in this little pattern Steve showed last night. Next, chapter 39, crude oil, slight bounce today. Again, this 85 area is big support. That was previous resistance last year, and it's now support. We'll see if it can hold on to this area. Next, chapter 40, natural gas. Yesterday, it popped over that little downtrend line I drew, basically tagged a little double top from June there. Next. Chapter 41, copper. It's had a healthy rally from that July lows, but so far, logical finding resistance at the declining 50-day moving average there. Next. Chapter 42, DBA, agriculture. Little black candle still in this pattern. Next. Chapter 43, Bitcoin. Weakening here with the market a bit. Breaking a little trend line here. Stalled at the upper channel line the other day. Next. Chapter 44, weekly chart. The weekly chart really looks bearish to me. Looks like a textbook bear flag. Now, it's possible this could be kind of an ABC thing, but that area up there at, say, the 28,000, 29,000 is now long-term resistance. I don't think Bitcoin's going to break through that, but this looks vulnerable. to me, even in this pattern right here, looks textbook bear flag. Next. Driver 45, Ethereum. A little weakening here a bit. Still holding the trend line now. Next. Driver 46, US dollar. Broke over the channel on Monday. So far, struggling a little bit at this horizontal resistance. Next. Driver 47, UUP. That's the ETF for the dollar. Similar look. Next. Driver 48, gold. So gold has had a nice pullback here the last few days. All right. So far, retracing about 38%. Now, the dotted lines that represent symmetry. One positive here is this rally off the lows was a symmetry break. It was the largest rally in the downtrend from the March high. So you do have higher odds at this form and a higher low, but we'll see if we can find some, make a higher low at one of these fibs, perhaps. But short term, looks pretty ugly. The GDX-GLD ratio is pointing down. The stocks are leading down. Next. Driver 49, GDX. Again, pretty good sell-off here. It's starting to accelerate a bit. Next. Driver 50, GDXJ. This is starting to accelerate. Again, you had a pretty nice trade out of that tight channel in July. Hope you took your profits. It stalled right at that resistance at 35. Next. Following up on trade ideas, Driver 51, SPXU. Steve showed this last night. There was a tight little wedge here. It popped up this morning. And honestly, it still looks okay here. If it can hold on. Next, Driver 52. Here's a two-hour view. Here I added a parallel channel. So you can see we didn't break out of the parallel channel line. That's something to watch right away tomorrow. Next, Driver 53, SQQQ. That's the triple inverse ETF for the Qs. This also popped out of the channel this morning. A little pull back later in the day, but still looks okay. Next, Driver 54, LABD. That's the biotech triple inverse ETF. Has a little bullish look to it here. Nice base. Next, Driver 55, Apple Crapple. It's amazing how far Apple's come back. It's literally walked the 9 EMA up since the beginning of the July. It's just a stone throws away, quite honestly, from the January, December highs. Quite overbought here, very short term. Next, Driver 56, Apple on the 60-minute time frame. You got a tight little wedge here. You know, if you're looking for an aggressive short. Next, carrying a few of these longs I showed on Monday. They haven't really done anything. Like Driver 57, APLD, it's still in this coil. I mean, it could be a short if you break below the coil. I don't really like shorting low price stocks like this myself. So I prefer it long if it were to trigger long. Next, Driver 58, BRCC, one from Monday. It's still valid if it can take out that 1050 area. Next, Driver 59, EGHT, one from Monday. You know, I don't like today's sell-off, but the volume's pretty light. If it can form a higher low and try resistance again, then, you know, it may be worth a shot for a trade. All right, guys, that'll do it. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Have a wonderful evening. Take care.